of killing people and dying, children hurt, hanging and crying. When you practice what you preach, won't you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Guidance from above. These people got me questioning. Where is the love?
Come on, if I do this, I can't. Where's the love? All right, where's the love now? This whole series is a series we're starting today called The Open Chair. It's a short series, only 2 weeks long, headed into Easter. But really, it defines who we are at Destiny Church. I did this series a couple years ago, and as we were preparing for Easter this year, the staff said, Pastor, I think we really need to come back and redo this series again, making sure it's at the forefront of the DNA of our church. We have a lot of new people who are coming in and maybe have never heard this. And for those who, or if you've already heard this, hopefully this refreshes you. And remember, oh yeah, this is what we're about. This is what we're about here at Destiny. And if you're new, I hope that you catch the vision for where we're trying to go here at Destiny Church and what we're trying to do unique here at Destiny. We're calling this series The Open Chair. It's why we do what we do. You know, I was at a restaurant in the mall not too long ago, and as I was there eating from this restaurant, how many like the food court at the restaurant? How many like the food court? What's the best thing about the food court? Chick-fil-A? Some of you just right to it. Chick-fil-A? Anybody like Chick-fil-A here? That's another whole message altogether. I'll just tell you right now, like, how many know that chicken is like manna from heaven? Amen. That's just some good stuff right there. Chick-fil-A really understands the value of the message I'm speaking today, because it's more than one way. They understand that it's all about the guest. It's all about the open chair. I was there eating, and I had purchased some food from a place, and I was sitting down at the table right in front of the restaurant there in the food court. And as we're eating our food, one of the workers comes out of the back and starts serving the samples to people. And it was their job to go out and give away the free samples. And as they start coming out to give free samples, they leave the place of their restaurant, and they step right out into the front row of the table right in front of the business, and they start handing out free samples. And now they're giving me free samples. Think about this. They're giving me free samples of the food I just purchased and I'm presently eating. Think about that. They're giving me free samples of the food I just purchased from their restaurant. And now they're giving it to me for free to sample. And what had happened was they had a worker who they said, go out and give these free samples. And the worker really didn't want to be there. The worker really didn't want to be out front. They'd rather be back hiding, you know, instead of being out in front of everybody. But instead, the worker says, all right, I'll do my job. They take the plate. They come out to give out the free samples, and they give it to the first person they see. And the problem is they're giving me samples of the food I've already purchased. Instead of just going out a few feet more and getting out there where the stream of the new people coming in and out are going by, and just a little more effort to get out there in the middle of the stream where everybody's walking and try to give samples to those who haven't purchased their food yet, or to those who don't even know they're hungry yet, but give them a sample, that should be their target audience, right? That makes sense. Not the people who's already eating from their food. Some of you know where I'm going this morning. Because this is really the way the church looks many times. We sit around and we give samples to each other. We give spiritual food to each other. And we never care about the person passing by. We never care about the person just a little bit out there who hasn't ate yet. We don't care, and maybe we do care, but we just don't pay attention. And we just don't think about it. I'm being fed. That's all is important. I'm eating from the table. That's all is important. You see, Jesus had a lot to say about tables in the Bible. We'll find out that we're going to spend eternity, and we're going to be having this great feast around the marriage lamb's table. And it's going to be awesome, man. He says he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. I mean, we see in time in Scripture where Jesus did some pretty awesome things around the table. He told Zacchaeus, come down from there. Today, I'm going to your house. We're going to have lunch. And we don't know what happened around that table, but all we know is that when he left that time, Zacchaeus came out and said, I'll repay everybody else I've ever done wrong. I'll change my life. And he came out and did a 180 just from that time around the table with Jesus. You see, we have an opportunity to bring people to the Lord's table. John 6:35, look what it says right here. It talks about Jesus said, I am the bread. Everybody say the bread. The bread of life. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. They'll never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. See, Jesus brings us good carbs. Think about it. Jesus, how many think that? Some of you have been praying. I need some of those holy carbs right now. Because all these carbs I'm eating are sticking to every part of my body. That's a different message. You know, many people try to lower their carb intake to lose weight. And we see carbs as a bad thing. But actually, even when you're trying to lose weight, you can lower your carb intake, but you still need a certain amount of healthy carbs. Because carbs is what gives us energy. You know, if you want to work out, you got to have carbs to help fuel your workout. It's just eating and learning what those right carbs are. It's not deleting them altogether. It's just changing your diet to eat the right, healthy carbs. Think about it. So today, when I come to the Lord's table, I'm eating good, spiritual, healthy carbs. It's feeding me. It's energizing me. Why? So I can stay here and feed somebody else around the table? No. I'm being energized. I'm being given nutrition. Why? So I can get up, leave, get out there where people are at, and say, you know what? Come and taste of the Lord's table. Come and see what God did in my life. Come and see how God changed my life. There's an open chair for you around the Lord's table. You've got to come sample this. You've got to come see this. You've got to come get a sample of what God's doing, man. It's changed my life. Some of you are more excited about a new restaurant coming to town. You're all over social media. Oh, somebody go with me to this new restaurant. I stand in line for an hour and a half, 2 hours. But we never bring people to the Lord's table. It's just to be honest today, but we never bring people. Oh, we like the Lord's table. We love eating around the Lord's table, but we haven't gone from being a consumer to being someone who goes and brings other people to the open chair. And this is the DNA of our church, is that we want to be a church who always keeps an eye on the open chair, who always thinks about the open chair. Everything we do should have the open chair in mind. Let me say it again. Everything we do here at Destiny should ultimately always have the open chair in our mind, thinking about the open chair. Jesus is the real food. He's the real carbs. He says, once you eat, you won't hunger again. Once you drink, you won't be thirsty again. So what's he saying? Jesus is saying, I am the real meal. I am the real deal. I'm the real happy meal you can find right here. This is it. And we've got it. And we consume it. But are we sharing it with others? Are we bringing anybody else? Are we hosting anybody else in? Are we feeding anybody else? It's changed my life. It's changed my marriage. It's changed my family. It's changed my attitude. It's changed my hope. I mean, all these things we experience, but yet, are we consuming it all? Are we bringing other people to have that same experience? Listen, I understand if you grew up in a big family, there wasn't a lot sometimes. It was first come, first serve, right? Every man for himself. When mom said it's ready to eat, you ran because you know if you didn't get there first, there wasn't going to be enough left over for you. Some of you understand. You're smiling. You come from a big family. I have 5 kids. They understand this principle. What are you fixing? Okay, depending on what they like, they're number one in line right there. Because they want to get it before it's all gone. You see, we don't have to worry about that. There's plenty. There's plenty for everyone who needs it. This well is not going to run dry. This table is not going to be empty. God's food is enough for everyone. And so we don't live as just people who are trying to get it all for ourselves. No, it should be I'm getting nourished so I can go out and bring other people to the empty chair. So we got to answer this question today. Who am I? Who am I bringing to the table? Who am I bringing to the open chair? There's a chair open. It's my job to fill it. He says, go unto all the world and to make disciples. Right? We're called to make disciples. We're called to fill the chair around the Lord's table. Can you think of a time when you invited somebody to either go out to eat or come to your house to eat, but they said no? Come on, think about it. Thinking. No, I can't think of any time, unless there was a something beyond their schedule control. When people invite you to their house to eat, you come to eat. Gabo, when you fix those carnitas tacos and you invite me, everything changes because I'm there. Hallelujah. I love food. And it goes back to the principle. You feed them, they will come, right?
Feed them and they will come.
It happens. And so people very seldom turn down a meal when you invite them to come to your house or take them out to eat. People want to eat. It's something we all have in common. We all like to eat. Some of us more than others. We really enjoy eating. And so we have got to be about bringing people to eat around the Lord's table. It's our job to get them to the spiritual table, to serve them the spiritual food that God has for them. So let me ask you this question. When was the last time you brought someone to eat with you to church? When was the last time you brought someone to eat with you at church? Now, for all those who brought somebody with you today, you're like, yes! Out of all the Sundays, this was a great Sunday. We're high-fiving right now to your spouse. Yes, we did good today. But let's be honest. How many of us, when's the last time we really brought somebody with us to sit in the open chair? Has it been a while? Has it been too long? Have we gotten so comfortable, complacent, that we forget about the open chair? We forget about the importance of the open chair. Our highest priority needs to be about bringing others to eat with us, to eat at God's table. Are you hearing me? Our highest priority should be about the open chair. Who am I bringing to sit at the Lord's table? Who am I bringing to be with me here? See, Jesus, look what he had to say in John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said, my food, what I eat, is to do the will of the Father. Some versions say like it is here, the will of him who sent me. And to finish his work. We should be eating from the spiritual table so that we have energy now to get up and to go. That's why we have go teams. That's why we have ministries. But we're eating from the table. There's nothing wrong with eating from the table. We should be eating from the table every week. And even next week, I'll talk about the importance of eating every day. But we got to learn that, you know what? I eat. I get refreshed, energized, nourished. Why? So I can get up and I can go and be God's hands and feet to other people. That's why he's feeding me. That's why he's ministering to me. That's why he's changing me. That's why he's healing me. That's why he forgave me. That's why he's letting me experience his love and grace. It's so that I can bring people that nobody else wants to love and say, you belong here. I bring people who failed and say, you have a spot here. I have people that others have rejected and say, you come and eat with us. Because the open chair is about you. And it should be at the burning part of our spirit that we remember that's about bringing people with us around the table. It's about bringing people with us. See, most people are just one invitation away from coming to the table. I mean, especially around Easter and Christmas, we know are the highlights where people really start having their spiritual radars coming up, you know, and looking around. And many people would love to go somewhere on Easter, even if they don't go any other time of the year. They would love to go somewhere Easter if someone would just take a moment and invite them, personally invite them. Even if they said no before, for whatever reason, they are really ready on Easter to come. And so many people are just one invitation away. How many people came to the church, this church or any other church, for the first time because someone personally invited you? Raise your hand if that's the first time you came because somebody personally invited you. Look around. See, as always, listen to me. We'll do media campaigns. We'll do advertising. We'll blitz social media the next couple of weeks. But still, the number one way that people come to church for the first time is by a one-on-one personal invitation from somebody. It's still the way people still come. And we've got to be about, how do I get people to the table? How do I get people to come into the Lord's house? We have a great opportunity. Are we going to take advantage of it on Easter? Are we just going to let Easter come and go and we spend more time worried about what we're going to wear on Easter than who we're going to bring on Easter? Oh, come on, ladies. You know that hurt. Some of you have been planning that Easter outfit for 6 weeks already. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is this. Let's don't let that be so much the forefront that we forget. Who am I supposed to bring with us? Who am I supposed to have come with me? Every time I come to the table, we should be thinking about the open chair. Every time I come to sit around the Lord's table and I'm eating with my friends and I'm worshiping with my friends and I'm praying with my friends, I should be looking and say, hey, there's a spot. Who should be sitting there next to me? Who should be filling this open chair? Every time we come to the table, we should be remembering the open chair is what I'm doing. And what am I doing to fill it? It's all for the open chair. Every time we come to the table, we should be remembering the open chair. And what am I doing to fill it? So if we're going to invite people, let's think about the process. Really a three-step process. We have the invitation. We have the preparation. And then we have the presentation, right? If you invite someone to come to your house to eat, you invite them, right? You invite them, and then you start cleaning like crazy. You know, here at Destiny Church, we have a great ministry called the Clean Team. And we have lots and lots of volunteers who come in, some once a month, some every 6 weeks, and they volunteer to help clean the church. And what are they doing? They're starting the process of getting ready for those who are coming in the open chair. Are we doing it to impress you? No. Hey, I hate to break the bubble. But the reason why we're doing it is for the guests. Matter of fact, if you're part of the clean team, can you just raise your hand high? We want to see you. Yeah, come on, give all these people a hand clap. Several in the first service as well. They're preparing the place so that when guests come in, you know, they tell us that guests really make up their mind whether or not they're going to like a place within the first 5 to 10 minutes of being here. That means as soon as they get out of the parking lot and start walking up, we're already starting to make that first impression. Whether or not they're going to like it, whether or not they want to return, people who greet them, people who sit by them. And so there's a lot that goes on in preparing for this. We think about it. We pray about it. We put a lot of thought process into it. We have the clean team. We have volunteers that are coming, and they're ushers, and they're greeting you, and they're watching the nursery, and they're watching the preschool, and they're teaching the elementary. We have the media team. We have the section leaders. We have the security team. We have people in place all over that are doing things. Why? People working the coffee shop. People coming and working the bands, been practicing all week, getting ready, thinking about it. Singers who are coming, practicing, coming early while you're still in bed. They're preparing, warming up their voices, going over. During the week, they're coming in on nights and working, preparing. Why? Because it's all about the preparation for the person coming for the empty chair, for the open chair. It's all about that. We're thinking about it through. All the sermon prep that we put in, so much thought process that goes into thinking through. How can we serve the food in a way that the person who's never been here understands? How can we serve up the food in a way that they comprehend, that they understand, and that they have a one-on-one encounter with Jesus? How do we feed them? How do we bring them to the well where they can drink? How do we bring them to the table where they say, yeah, I'm ready to take a bite of this, man. I'm ready to eat at this table. It's all about the open chair. See, have you ever been to one of the new restaurants in town, hot new restaurants in town, and it comes and you got to wait an hour and a half to get in because everybody's trying it out at first. And you finally get in, you get seated. Some of you are like, yeah, that's us. We were there, Pastor. Some of you, I know I see you every new opening. You're like there waiting in line. And you get in, you're like over social media. This is great. The atmosphere is great. The food is great. Everything about it's great. You walk in, and man, they paid attention to the details. Their decor is done in a way that's really warm and friendly. Looks like it's been thought through. It's maybe a modern touch to it. From the ambience of the lighting to the background music they have playing to the way they had their servers trained to greet you and talk to you, their hosts to seat you, to the appetizers they bring out. I mean, everything's perfectly thought through with the first-time guest in mind. And then you sit somewhere and you think, man, this place is like perfect. This place is awesome. Is their food any better than maybe the place down the street? Probably not. Their food is probably not that much better than the place down the street. What's different? They just really have thought through the process of the guest experience. And then you sit back, and maybe you sit back in the back toward the kitchen area. And maybe the kitchen opens up, and as the kitchen door opens up, you get a glimpse back in there. And even though things are running out smooth out front, you get behind there in the kitchen, and you see the chef back there barking out orders, people calling out for their order. Where's my order? I messed this up. This was overcooked. Who did this? Who spilled this? Who's got table six? Come on, they're waiting. Oh, so-and-so didn't show up for their shift. Hurry up, get out of here. Who's going to fill their spot? You got to stay late. You got to do this. We need you to do this more. Can you double up on this? And all this chaos going on, and all of a sudden the door shuts back, and you're like, dun, 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 dun. I mean, nothing's happening. Seems all great. You know, sometimes that's the way it is here on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. Staff are like, the breaker's going off. The amps are going off. The sound's not working right today. The board's messing up. We got this happening. The bulb's out of the projector. Someone didn't clean part of the church. Oh, they didn't show up to their ushering spot. Oh, they're supposed to be greeting the front door. Can you go out there and fill in for the person at the front door? They didn't show up today. I'm short of a worker. We're going crazy. And then the music starts and we're like, hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord today. Isn't everything great? Hallelujah. It's so good to have you today. But behind the scenes, sometimes we're like scrambling, man. Why? Because we care about the chair. We care about the chair. We care about the open chair. And we know that we only have one time to make a first impression. And for some people, it may be the only time they come to church. And we want to make sure we do everything possible that when they come to the Lord's house, that they have a pleasant experience. They come in, they feel welcomed, they feel loved and accepted. Not smothered, but welcomed, loved, and accepted. Feel like, you know what, this is a church that I can fit into. This is a church where I can belong. This is a place where I can feel God's presence. Man, these people, they're not weird. They're actually pretty normal people, yet they're pretty passionate about their relationship with Jesus. And we have a chance to bring them in to the house of the Lord and bring them around the table for them to eat around the Lord's table. Sometimes it feels like that. It's all about the chair. That's why we do it. Have you ever noticed that when you have a normal family dinner, that mom pulls the casserole out, she'll stick it on the counter, she get out the paper plates, and she'll yell, "It's time to eat!" Everybody comes, "Hey, mom, we fix your plate." "Nope! I've been working all day. I've been slaving. You're a big boy. Fix your own plate. You can do this. You got to serve yourself. You're getting a paper plate. Everybody's got paper cups or plastic cups that don't match. Kids have got a washcloth or napkins they got about the sink. Come on, anybody else? Is this my home crazy? Is your home that way too at times? Okay? All right. Making sure Shrunny. Okay, all right, all right. Sometimes the way it is, right? We just kind of, we do that because we are all comfortable with each other, and that's, it's a lot easier to do that. But we invite guests over. We invite guests over to eat. Guess what? We're going to eat at the nice table. We're going to eat at the nice table. We sit down at the nice table. Come on in. What's been going on? Before they ever get there, kids, every one of you get upstairs right now. I'm taking the controls to the PlayStation. There ain't nobody ever playing that PlayStation again. If this house is not clean from top to bottom, if you don't clean the bathroom, clean your room, you get a vacuum, you do this, blah, blah, everybody's working. Oh, my God. Why do we have to have guests over? Mom, what's going on? You're killing us. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about, moms. And so we get all this cleaned up, and then the guests come in, and we get to sit at the nice table. And then your wife brings out appetizers. You're like, these toothpicks are sticking out of these things on a tray. What is that? Oh, it's an appetizer. I've never seen that in this house before. But when guests come, we get appetizers, and then we get a nice big salad. And we got more than one choice of salad dressing. We have the main course, and we got the side dishes, and then everybody's full, and then she says, I had time today to bake a dessert. Would anybody like a cake? I'm like, who are you, woman? You got the spirit of Betty Crocker all over you. We sit down, we're all eating with nice plates. Not only do we have nice plates, but we got a plate to hold a plate. These are called chargers, in case you didn't know what that meant. This is called a charger. I think they call it a charger because you get shocked when your wife uses them. Like, I've never seen those before. All right. I got to have a plate to hold my plate. Every glass matches, and the napkins are nicely folded. And everything's brought out nice. Why? Because it's all about the guest. It's all about the guest. Why? Because the guests come in, it's our responsibility to be a good host. When guests come into our home, it's our responsibility to be a good host. We should be presenting Jesus to people who are coming in the first time to the best of our ability. Not the best of somebody else's ability, but the best of our ability. We do things the very best that we can. This is how we do, from how we clean our house to how we think through even the small things like the background music you hear walking through the foyer. And when you first come in before the service ever starts, you know, you can kick back and be like, dun, 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 dun. You're like, hey, man, this place is kind of chill. All right, man. Why? Because we want you to feel relaxed coming in. You know that research has been done. They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars researching how the mind works. And when consumers come in to check out a restaurant or come in to check out a store, they have their target audience, and they know how they're thinking, and they're playing every little thing, even from the background music, to make them feel relaxed and at home and comfortable in that setting. I mean, we're trying to think through everything from our background music to our welcome videos to our media presentation to our lighting. Some of you think, why do we lower down the lights when we're doing worship? It's because we want you to engage in worship. And if you've never engaged in worship before, the Bible says, lift up holy hands. The Bible says that we sing out loud unto the Lord. There's a lot of ways the Bible tells us to worship the Lord and praise God. But when the lights are on and you've never done that before, that can be a little scary and intimidating, right? I mean, come on. Even though nobody's looking at you, you feel like, everybody's looking at me. Everybody's looking at me. Hey. Is this good enough, Pastor? Right here, it's low, you know. So we lower down the lights. Why? So that people who'd never worshiped before can feel at ease, saying, yeah, hey, this is pretty cool. I like, oh, yeah, wow. Oh, I'm eating this table. I like that. I like lifting my hands in worship. I love raising my voice in worship. I love singing out to the Lord. And so we lower it down so that people have a more comfortable setting that they can feel free to worship the Lord. It also helps us with somebody who's crazy in the air. You're not watching them. You watch God. All right, there you go. So it works both ways. Come on now. We have got to think through how we bring people to the open chair. It's just not tossed out there. You think we get up and say, all right, what do you guys want to sing today? We got any requests out here? Think through. The band hasn't practiced, and we may have that music. Can you find that music in the back? We decided to do this. No, there's a thought process that goes through. We pick out the music. We pray the theme and what we're going to do for the day. The message. All right, I didn't prepare anything today, but just open up your Bibles. Whatever opens up to you, I'm going to talk out of today. You know? No, you should be thinking it through. And I know pastors are like, Pastor, you don't need to do all that. Man, the Word of God, you just need to let it preach for itself. You just put it out there, it'll preach for itself. And there is some truth to that. The Word of God does preach for itself. But it says that when we preach the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit takes that and He brings it to you in a certain way. So He'll bring it to you in a certain way. And I'm preaching the same message, and He'll take it and give somebody else a totally different way over here. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit takes that, and He brings it to us as we need it, and He takes that to us. But could it be this, that we throw out a message on spiritual truths, and we're expecting somebody who's never given their life to Jesus, we're expecting somebody who doesn't know who the Holy Spirit is to listen to the Holy Spirit, to discern the Holy Spirit? How about we who are spiritual already do a little bit of planning and say, Holy Spirit, how can I take this lesson, how can I take this message and present it in a way that the person who's never heard it can understand it? See, how about we who are spiritual and can hear the Holy Spirit, listen to the Holy Spirit in advance, and be creative in the way we bring it, in a way that people can comprehend it. So they can say, oh, that's what that means. I've heard that said before, but I didn't know what it meant in my life. And now you're explaining it. Now you're using an illustration. Now you're telling a story about it. Now you're using a movie clip. Oh, now it's coming alive. I understand it now. And we bring them to the table where they can eat. See, we're serving it in portions they can eat and understand. It's a lot of thought goes into it. I can tell you that it keeps me awake at night, thinking through how God, how can I present this message in a way where people can understand it, comprehend it, in a way that becomes applicable to their life? God, help me to illustrate it. God, give me a story. God, give me a prop to use. God, give me a video to use. God, give me a way of explaining it in a way that's going to really click with people who are coming in. Why? Because the open chair matters. It matters. My wife will tell you, it keeps me awake at night. It keeps me awake at night because I'm always thinking it through. How can we do better? How can we help reach more people? How can we help people understand? Listen, the Bible is not boring. Let me say again, the Bible is not boring. The Bible has got some of the best drama. Ladies, I know you like Lifetime. But there's more drama in the Bible than there is on a Lifetime network. I'm just telling you right now. There's more romance in here. There's more drama, baby daddy issues, all that's going on right here in the Bible. Guys, there's like so much war and physical activity going on in here. Guys doing war and fighting, and I mean, it's just some great Braveheart scenes in the Bible. There's so much in there. The Bible, it's not boring. If you're hearing a message and the message is boring, don't blame the Bible. Blame the chef. Blame me. Blame the person you listen to. Because the Bible is not boring. We got to make it come alive for people to understand. Make it come alive so we remember the person sitting in the chair has got to realize that we've got the best message ever known to mankind. And it's the message that Jesus came to redeem us. Jesus came that we can have grace, that we can be reunited with a relationship with Jesus Christ through the Father. He sent His Son, Jesus, that we are reunited with the Father through Jesus, His Son. It's the greatest message. And so I think, God, how can we bring it to life? How can we bring it to life to people so they can understand it? When we teach the word, it's all about the open chair in mind. It's our responsibility to make sure that we don't confuse you, but we inspire you. We challenge you. Sometimes we correct you. But it's all about the open chair in mind. You see, our target audience, listen to me, our target audience is not people from other churches. Our target audience is people who aren't going to church anywhere. Now, go ahead and get, that's a good thing. You can clap on that. Come on, that's a good thing. Now, let me tell you, there's times people change churches. I understand that. There's always a season. Sometimes people have been there for several years, and sometimes change is necessary, okay? I understand it. We have people here who have come from another church, and we have people here who's left here and gone to another church, okay? Change happens. But our target is not trying to get other people that are going to other churches to come to our church. Our target is to find people who aren't going to church anywhere. Maybe they used to go to church, but they're not going anywhere right now. Or maybe they've never been to church. We want to bring them in so the house of the Lord is full and they come and sit in the open chair and taste and see that God is good. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean this. Our target is the open chair. And then our target is mature believers. Mature believers who sit around the table and mature believers who have the heart to reach the open chair. We want mature believers who have the heart to reach the open chair. It's not that we don't have a place for mature believers, but we want them to come in and help us reach them. See, we can't reach this chair without all these chairs being full. We're going to have people at different stages of their Christian walk who are sitting there helping us reach this chair right here. So we work together. They're important. That's why I love it that we have people who come in all the time to Destiny. They tell me, grandmas and grandpas, I love Destiny Church because it's the first church I came to that my kids love coming to church with me. And not only my kids, but my grandkids love coming to church with me. Parents come in. I love it that we love coming here, and our teens love coming here as well. We both like it. We love it. Why? Because at Destiny Church, we believe in reaching the open chair. And we believe in reaching the next generation. And so we who are mature are still growing. We're still learning to let God grow us. But we know that ultimately our job is to reach the next generation. Our job is to make sure this chair is filled. When I grew up, I can tell you this, that when I grew up, the church I went to growing up, if I had never been to church before, now let me preface this by saying, great people in the church I grew up in, some great friends, a lot of good came out of that, okay? But if I had attended that church as an adult for the first time, I had never been to church before, I would have never went back to that church again. Because they had zero thought process when it came to the open chair. What the guests coming in. There was zero thought process and energy put into this person. It was all about the consumer. It was all about who was already eating around the table. And nobody thought about the person coming in. You want to know how many people grew up in the same church all my life? You want to know how many people I brought growing up to church? Zero. Zero. I wasn't about to bring my friends to that church. Loved it. Loved the people there. Great people. Some of the best hearted people I ever met in my life. But man, you just never knew what was going to happen when you went to church there. You just never knew who was going to be out of order and who was going to do this. And you just never knew some of the crazy stuff. And I was like, I am not bringing my friends thinking I'm crazy. But I love it that we have a church that the teenagers and young adults love, are excited about it. They bring their friends to it. Yeah, why? Because we're keeping the open chair in mind. Matter of fact, if you're a teenager today, you should tell your mom and daddy after church, thank you. Thank you for caring enough about me to have me in a church that cares about me and thinks about me, that believes in reaching me. It's about the open chair. Who we bring It should be at the forefront. Are we all eating around the table and never inviting anybody else to eat with us? We're all consuming. See, a biblically sound church, look at this. The biblically sound church understands they are always called to keep the open chair for guests and non-believers. A biblically sound church understands they are always called to keep an open chair for guests and non-believers. Yeah, the Bible says I'm to go make disciples. The Bible says that I'm to love my neighbor as myself. The Bible says I'm to forgive my enemies. The Bible says I'm to go unto all the world and make disciples. The Bible's about the open chair. So biblically sound church says, you know what? I want to keep the open chair in mind. I've got to always be thinking about the open chair. All the chairs are important because we can't reach the open chair without the other chairs. But we got to realize we're about the open chair. There's a myth out there that someone started that says that only shallow churches reach a lot of unsaved people. Only shallow churches reach, because they're not very deep, and so they just reach a lot of unsaved people because they're, you know, they're just out there doing whatever. They're close to the world, and they're so shallow. They're not as deep as us. We teach the real truth at our church. We're deep. We're deep. So shallow churches, they're, you know, that's the reason why they're reaching a lot of people who aren't saved, because they're so shallow. You want to know who started that myth? Churches who aren't reaching nobody. Churches who see nobody saved, they're the ones who started that myth. That is so untrue. Matter of fact, we want to be mature. We want to be deep. Look at this. Deep churches, look at this. Deep churches are not afraid to go into the deep waters and rescue people. That's what being a deep church is. That you get out there beyond the comfort zone of your own table. You get fed. You get instructed. You fill up. You get healed. And then you leave and you go out there into the deep waters and find those that nobody else loves. You say, Jesus loves you. You find a person who's been hurt in a divorce and say, there is life again. God wants to heal your broken heart. You find those who've gone through abuse and say, there is hope again. You find those who've blown it and say, you know what? God's grace is big in the open chair. You find those that nobody else wants. You say, Jesus wants you. That's what being a deep church is. And you're not afraid to risk your reputation. You're not afraid to get out there and to try things and to push the envelope sometimes. Why? Because we're trying to reach people for Jesus. It's about the open chair. And we never forget it's about the open chair. It's about who we bring in around the table. See, the problem is this. We all eat, and now we look like a spiritual obese church. We've got churches all across America that are full of spiritual obese people who are always consuming, always eating, but they're never getting up and exercising. A lot of you, you do that. You're getting up and you're exercising. I say, thank God for you. Thank God you got the heart. And some of you here, you have the heart, but sometimes, you know, it's easy to forget. We get into our comfort zone. And today, through this series, I'm hoping it re-challenges you to say, oh, this is why we do things the way we do. This is why every single person plays an important role in the church. If I don't show up to greet, it has a chain effect on the person who's coming in for the first time. If I don't show up to teach the kids' class, it has a chain effect. When I volunteer to help do something as small as maybe thinking clean the church, it's a big effect. Why? Because it ultimately all leads to the open chair. This Easter, we're going to invite a lot of people to church. And you're going to have an invitation given to you. Today, when you leave, we're going to pass out some of these invitations for you to use at Easter time. I'm going to invite our musicians to go ahead and come this morning. And as they pass these out when you leave today, we'll have some more next week. I want you to get some of these invitations. So we're going to be using the theme Hacksaw Ridge. If you've never heard or seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge, powerful, powerful, true story. You're gonna love it. It's a great, great story. I'm going to use some of the clips out of it to put scripture and talk about the power of Easter. You're going to see hear about a young man who won the Congressional Medal of Honor. Even though he refused to carry a gun in World War II, he saved over 75 people single-handedly without a gun in the middle of a war zone. Powerful, powerful testimony. You're going to hear part of that story, and we're going to relate it to Easter. I promise you, we'll present Easter in a way that people have never heard it before. Why did you do that, Pastor? Because that's the way Jesus talked. When Jesus was talking to people who had no understanding about godly principles, he talked in parables. He talked in ways and stories, and he talked about farmers, and he talked about ladies cleaning their house. He talked about fishermen. He talked about so many things. He talked about people who worked in the vineyards. He was always talking about people, father-son relationships. And why? Because he was always painting this picture of how the kingdom of God works. And that's what we're going to do on Easter. And so I need you to say, you know what? I've got to be chair aware. I've got to be chair aware on Easter. I've got to think about who's not sitting here next to me that needs to be here. I need to target them with my prayers. I need to target them with my invitation. I need to target them and say, you know what? I've got to get them here. I promise you, get them here. They're going to hear the Easter message in a powerful way, in a personal way. It's going to hit them right in the heart. And they're going to have an understanding of how much Jesus really loves them on Easter. We're putting in a lot of preparation. Our design team's going to be working on sets. Our lighting team's going to be changing up our lighting. Our band's been practicing for several weeks. There's a lot of things going on. The staff's been working. We got a lot of cool things going to be happening for newcomers when they come in, giveaways, set up out front. It's going to be a really, really awesome day. But you got to help us, okay? It's not enough just for the staff and leadership to carry this vision. It's got to be an all-church vision. Are you hearing me? It's got to be an all-church vision. When we say, Pastor, it's all about the open chair. That's our heart. It's about the open chair. I understand. It's about the open chair. Today, I want you to bow your heads. And if you hear it, say, Pastor, I've never came to the Lord's table before. I've never tasted the Lord, know He's good. And today, I'm realizing that I need to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I've never asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of my life. And that's where it all starts, see? It starts right there with the decision to become a Christ follower. And say, Jesus, I surrender my life to You. I've never done that before. And today, we won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. Nobody's looking but me, but can you just raise your hand and say, I want to accept Jesus today. I bet you can just raise your hands, that's me. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us? Thank you. If you haven't raise it right now where I can see it. Say, today's my day. We're going to say this prayer. And I want you to say this prayer out loud if you raised your hand. And as Christians sitting around you, we'll say it out loud with you. Repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to You. I believe You are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after You. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Come on now, give me a big hand. It's a big issue. Let's stand on your feet today. How many today say, Pastor, I'm praying God just changes the way I think. I want to be more chair aware. Anybody here, especially speaking to you today, that's me. I want to be more chair aware. How many say, I want to agree with the vision of Destiny Church that we'll reach the open chair no matter what? Are you going to do that? Are you going to help us? Come on now. We're going to close this song. It says, come to the altar. Let's make sure we get as many people to the altar of the Lord. Come on, let's do it.
Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Today, before you leave, I want to give you a couple things. First of all, don't forget, those of you who want to stop by and write the name of the person you want to invite for Easter, put it on that board, take a picture with it, post it on social media, say, hey, man, I'm inviting you to come. Love to have you be my guest. This week we'll have, in the middle of the week, we'll start having a video invitations for the Easter service. We'll have still images as well. Throughout the week, this week and next week, share that several times on your multimedia. Comment on it. Invite a friend with it. Do it several times. Not just once, but do it several times. Let's take advantage of that free advertising we have. But don't forget, the most powerful way is still that one-on-one. When you give somebody a one-on-one invitation. And so today, thank you so much for being here. We love you. It's going to be a, how many believe this Easter is going to be the biggest harvest we've ever had? You believe that? We believe that. Be praying. Now, let me tell you this before you leave. One more thing. I know today we have a lot of people gone out of this service because of spring break. We've been in capacity in the service for several weeks. And so I'm going to ask that many people who come to this service on Easter come to the first service. We have a little bit more room in the first service to help. We're going to have a lot of people coming to both services. That would help out. We have people who don't care or don't mind to go ahead and come to the first service as well to help out with the crowd control. That'd be great. We love you. Turn somebody. God is good. We love you. Have a great afternoon.